Welcome to Streams of Income with self-help author Ryan Rieger. For the next hour, you'll hear proven methods for how to live the multiple income streams dream. Ryan is passionate about helping others discover their gifts and start their own business. He's published 5 books, and his courses and group coaching programs have changed the lives of thousands of students all over the world. Ryan's books include Private Label, The Easy Way, Finding Your Grace Place, and his latest, Streams of Income. And now, here's your host, Ryan Rieger.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Streams of Income radio show. I'm your host, Ryan Rieger. Today we're chatting with my good buddy, Jeremy James. He brings the Jeremy experience with him wherever he goes. And for those of you that don't know him, you'll learn what that's all about. He's just a goofball, but he has fun and he's doing very well on Amazon. In this episode, he drops a lot of really good nuggets of information for sellers. He's selling a lot of grocery items and he's built tons of relationships with people. And if I had to sum up this episode, it's building relationships has been the key for him and is the key for taking his business to another level, doing some very unique things with some of these direct relationships with grocery stores that he has, that he's able to buy products in big time bulk. So you're going to love this entertaining episode with Jeremy. And here it is right here. All right, Jeremy James, welcome to Streams of Income Radio, my friend. How are you?
Oh man, Ryan, great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. Finally, we get the Jeremy experience on my podcast.
Prepare to be underwhelmed.
No. Oh my gosh. Well, guys, Jeremy is a good friend of mine. I don't remember the first time I met you, probably one of the CES conferences.
2017 in February in south of Los Angeles is when we kind of first talked for the first
time. Okay. Wow. You got it down to the date. Unbelievable. I remember meeting you at, I saw you at the CES conference in Nashville. I don't know what we really chatted that much then, but I remember seeing you there. But you've been a fixture in our community, a leader in our community, and you're doing some great things. Let's talk about you're in Alabama, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
And how long have you been selling online? Tell me about your business journey.
So, yeah, happy to do that. In January of 2009 or 10, uh-huh. I had this idea that I was going to make money that month. I don't really remember. And we were doing a Friday night Bible study with some other people. And I just made a statement and I was going to do it. And on the last day of the month, I was on a website called the Warrior Forum.
Uh-huh. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, the Warrior Forum, which is the best place to go and spend money for edutainment, educational stuff that will make you feel good to buy it, but you really won't do much with it.
Right. But still in business? I don't even know.
Yes, it is. In fact, to be honest with you, I kind of want to go back and just buy a membership because it was indirectly because of the Warrior Forum that I became who I am today, just to kind of honor them a little bit. I haven't done that yet, but I remember saying I want to help somebody, and I don't know how in the world I did it, but I found somebody in New York that needed some editing of a paper for English.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was a high school student and he paid me like $25 or whatever. And I'm like, I did it. Now that I'm older and wiser, I don't know if that was the most ethical thing to do, but I was young and stupid. Mm-hmm. Of course I was young and stupid yesterday. I just get wiser every day, but anyway, long story short, a few things happened. 2009, later that same year, I found out about a business opportunity fixing cigarette burns in upholstery.
Are you serious?
Yes, I did. And it was just totally a God thing. And so I'm like, wow, that's pretty interesting. So I looked on Craigslist and looked all over the country, called some guy in Texas. He told me all about it. So he was making good money. I called some guy in Augusta, Georgia. He's like, man, it's great. Why don't you come up here? You can stay at my house and show you everything. And I'm like, okay, you psycho. I won't do that. And so I decided to do the safe thing and take my pregnant wife up there with me. And so we went and had dinner with him. And this guy was a great Christian brother in the Lord. And uh-huh. was making $100,000 a year by pinstriping cars and fixing cigarette burns and upholstery. It was those amazing.
No way.
Yeah, his name was Mike.
And I have never, there's so many ways to make money online. Oh, dude, I've never heard that insane. One.
And so you find a hole in a cigarette burn, you put some glue in there, some silicone, and you have these little velour fibers. You mix them together to get the color right. And you have this little puffer thing uh-huh. that looks, I Well, I don't know what a crack pipe looks like, but it looks like I imagine a crack pipe looks. And you put it on there, and then you spray some glue on it, and it's done. You charge $45 for that. And it was like, wow. I went to go work with him twice, and each day I worked, I saw the guy work 6 hours and put $500 cash in his pocket. I'm like, whoa. Tried the business for me here. I made $1,000 one year. Didn't really get it wasn't really successful, but it showed me it was possible. Mm. And that was such a huge thing for me. Mike, the gentleman that was, he actually, I found out on Christmas Eve of 2019 that he had passed away. Aww. 19 days earlier from cancer. I kept with Mike over the year. I knew he had gotten melanoma. And one of the last conversations we had was they were putting him in hospice. And every time I talked to him, I thanked him for giving me the seeds to show me that entrepreneurship was possible.
Yes.
And because that has changed my life. Wow. Well, I downloaded a podcast, I'd say accidentally, in 2012 or 13. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And it was about these two guys talking about buying board games and tampons from Walmart. And I'm like, okay.
So this is retail arbitrage?
Well, yeah, I didn't know what it was called. That's a big word. Arbitrage is a big word for a guy from Alabama. But anyway, I signed up on Amazon, and I thought I could have sworn the first thing I ever sold on Amazon was Monistat, which is a women's feminine itch cream. But I actually went back in my records, and actually the first thing I ever sold was a book. But then I couldn't really be successful. I bought one to one book sale, and then several months later, I went and bought out the store and had a bunch of Monistat. And well, there you go. Women's feminine itch cream, and it's been history ever since. And so I wound up purchasing a course at one point. Uh-huh. But going to a conference, which was the conferences I met you at, uh-huh. that was the big change of my life right there.
Wow.
And, yep.
Oh my gosh. So
going from editing an English paper to fixing cigarette burns and pinstriping cars to selling tampons on Amazon.
And that's what you do now. Is that it's all tampons, right?
Oh, dude, I tell you, you know, it's weird because I tell people that's what I do, but you know, it's very rare I actually come across them. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if I looked really hard, I probably could. But I love talking. Yeah, I sell tampons on Amazon.com, tampons and toilet paper. But make sure I get it all. But
that's gonna be your course.
Yeah, I like it. That's gonna be proving necessities. No, it was, in fact, the funny thing was, I'm in my warehouse now, and I jump ahead a little bit, but hopefully this will make somebody laugh, probably just you, because you seem to get tickled pretty easily. But I needed to move my business out of my house for a long time. And there's where I live, not even five minutes away, there's this one building. And I thought this would be great because it was utilized, but there's a small portion. I'm sure maybe I could rent a small place of it out. And I never could go by. They shut down. They opened up under a different name. And eventually I was over there and they shut down again. And I saw a for lease sign and I walked into it. And it was a 3,600 square foot building. Didn't need that much. They were divided into three sections, 1,200, 1,200, 1,200. I went and looked and too big for me. But my favorite part was the last section because the old building was an old funeral home. Oh, and my favorite section was I walked in the back room. He said, "You can even take a shower here." I said, "Man, this is not a shower room. This is the embalming room." And I can see my business right now, which is I did not wind up renting that, but I sell tampons on Amazon.com that I prepped from an old embalming room in an old funeral home. That'd be a story. But, I'm sorry, but
man, I love it. Well, that's what makes the Jeremy experience so special.
Yeah, it's kind of random. It's kind of like a drunk ADD, a drunk squirrel with ADD.
But it works for you, doesn't it?
Well, it keeps me out of jail, that's for sure.
That's right.
But no, I've been doing that ever since. You know, my business model has changed a good bit over the years, but do a lot of arbitrage online and retail. I have some liquidation mixed in. So I have a liquidation store that I have a good relationship with that I buy quite a bit from. And that kind of gives me greater margins. I'm really big into the replenishable products. So replans, I know that some of your listeners are probably familiar with replans, things we can buy over and over again. And so I'm growing that and then trying to grow some of my own unique bundles, items only I sell. Yeah. And then about 2.5 years ago, one of the brands I was buying direct, I was buying the product directly from the manufacturer. I had the chance to buy the company out 100%. Wow. So actually I now own that brand.
Uh-huh.
And so, we haven't really been able to make that grow like I wanted to. I mean, it's still growing, it's still selling consistently, but it's not where I want it to be yet, but we're definitely growing. We're doing well.
Is that your organizer product?
Yep. Yeah. So I had a chance to buy, it was a,
you can talk about it if you want. If you want to share it, we can share a link.
Yeah. So I'm having a brain freeze. So if you go to, I'll tell you what I want because people can find my store that way. And that's I'd rather some of the other products I sell, but it's an organization related product. And, which is kind of ironic because if you go look inside my car or my desk or my office or my home or my full-time job, I am the antithesis of organization. And yet I sell an organizational type product. So it's kind of funny.
So that sounds like a little bit like the piggy paste example that, how Benji went through that. Talk about how that even happened. Like, that story of ended up buying out that brand.
Yep. So I, back about probably 2015, I was looking on Amazon for things that were selling just merchant fulfilled only, merchant fulfilled, people just ship it directly to the customer rather than going through the Amazon fulfillment center.
Why were you looking for items only merchant fulfilled?
Because my thought process is that those typically, those at the time, it's still kind of the same today, I suppose, is those products typically got to the customer a little bit slower. Mm-hmm. They didn't take advantage of what at the time was Amazon's 2-day delivery service. They've really tried to upgrade it to 1-day now. So I was trying to find those products. Maybe I could find from a different source or from a different, maybe the manufacturer themselves, and sell those directly. Mm-hmm. Put those on Amazon and maybe get more of the sales. And so I found this product. Actually, I found three of them, not two, in the same short time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And I still sell one of the other ones this day.
Okay.
It's actually my number one seller. I probably sell about 200-250 units a month of that product.
Wow.
I found this. I called the company, or maybe it's emailed them, and I built a great relationship with with the lady there. She was not the owner, but I always did my best to show my appreciation to her. Because I was going to listen, I'm a small business owner, and you letting me sell your product is helping me support my family.
Yes.
And we built a good relationship with her. She went through some stuff, her dad had some health problems. My dad was going through some health problems at the time. So we were able to build a connection. So I will never forget. It was the second Friday of August of 2018. I was on a sourcing trip and I had just come to Highway 2 in Florida, in Bonifay, Florida. And my phone goes off. And it was what I thought was a Louisville, Kentucky number. Turns out it was a Texas number. Uh-huh. And I answered it and it was hey, is this Jeremy? Yes. Well, I'm the owner of. And I said, really? And she said, yeah, I want to talk to you about something. I need you to sign a non-disclosure for it. And I said, okay. I never talked to the owner before at all. So I went home, I signed it, sent it back to her. And I was curious. My son had a Taekwondo tournament that Friday night. Uh-huh. So at 9 o'clock, we were on the phone. He says, Jeremy, I love this company. I've had it for X number of years, but I'm just burned out and I'm ready to sell out.
Wow.
And we gave you, my assistant said they liked you the best. So we wanted to give you the first shot. Now, I don't know if that meant I was the most naive of because I was not the only one selling it, but they allowed me the chance to buy it. So 4 months later, negotiation, lawyers, and all the other things that go along with it, I bought it 2 or 3 days after Christmas of 2018.
Wow.
So now I own that brand and I am in one retailer, and the retailer was in already. I'd like to be in some other ones. I just have not been able to grow that like I wanted to.
That's incredible. There's so much we can unpack right there. We just, the whole relationship side of things, that your name came up to her assistant, number one, because you had that personal relationship. And we've talked about that on this podcast before. And business is relationships. Our friend Jim Cockrum says that. But I'm curious about I don't want to ask you personal numbers on that, how much you bought it for. But like in relation to, like, how did you even come to a if they threw out a number of, like, let's say they said, Jeremy, this business is worth $5 million. I know there's, mm-hmm. I know there's like multiples and, you know, people on Shark Tank. I watched that enough to know a little bit about this, but you know, how did you know if they came back to you with $5 million that wasn't even remotely like an option, or how did you come to a number that taking what you've purchased already from them to know how much you could spend for that? Cause there's other people thinking that would be really cool to be able to buy out a company, but where do you even begin?
So a little bit of history about the company. Now, this product that was kind of a, she used it in kind of a, I assume she used it kind of in a lead magnet form.
Okay.
So for those that don't know, that are not familiar, lead magnet is typically the very first thing a customer will come across when they're coming to a company, and they go down a funnel, which if they buy this one thing, they might buy the next thing. And then they might buy a $2 thing and then a $7 thing and then a $37 thing. And then the big package at the very bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, back in 2006, 2007, she had a couple of lead magnets. She had this product, she had another product, and she had a book. And the book at the very bottom of her thing was to be a part of her membership community. Now, memberships are kind of a thing today,
mm-hmm.
that people will pay so much a month to be a part of your Facebook group or your tribe, or
right.
there's all websites. That didn't really exist so much back in 2006, 2007, so they had to piece it together. I think she had around 1,100 people paying her, you know, so many, you know, I think it was on $12 a month. Because she had built this together out of different pieces of software, when one piece of software fell away, it kind of became more unfunctional. Unfunctional? That's a good Alabama word, unfunctional. And then she went through some changes personally, mm-hmm. and she kind of just lost her idea for it. So by the time we got to me, there was really just the inventory left and the relationship.
Mm.
Now, to be honest with you, I can't remember, because that was 3 years ago, how we came up with the number that we came up with. We went back, we negotiated back and forth. I had my CPA involved. Uh-huh. But to this day, you know, have I made my investment back? I don't know. I do know that, you know, we produced the product. We moved the production from where she was to here to Southeast Alabama. And so I've got the plastic mold, which was, you know, it was a significant portion of what I paid for the company.
Mm-hmm.
I bought the inventory. I didn't really get her brand name, because she has a YouTube channel. She mm-hmm. has, she's getting revenue from that. She has a book with that particular brand name.
Yeah.
But the name that she called her product, I trademarked that.
Okay. Nice.
And so anyway, I really just bought the inventory, but we went back and forth. Now, I had a chance to buy another company around this time a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something just dropped across my radar. It was a shaving company locally.
I remember you telling me about that.
Yep. And so I bought that right before the pandemic became really a thing. And so we were going to try to grow that through trade shows, which is how he grew it. He had shut it down a few years before that.
Uh-huh.
I first met him right around Christmas time. Of 18 or of 19. Uh-huh. And he had all this inventory, and I asked him what he wanted, and he told me. And then about a year later, or 3 or 4 months later, we swapped text again, because I got busy. Uh-huh. And then he said, man, I'll just take, and he told me a price. And I said, man, it's just stupid not to buy it for that.
Yeah.
So I bought it, but then we can't really grow it. So I have it upstairs in my office. So I've got a bunch of shaving stuff. I've got 140 nice razor kits right upstairs. Can't do anything with them right now. And then in my liquidation store, I found a product about 4 or 5 months ago.
Uh-huh.
It was a product you use to pump gas with, where you don't have to touch the nozzle. Mm-hmm. I bought every one of them. I mm-hmm. sold them all. Reached out to the company. They had 4,000 units left over.
Wow.
I made an offer. We could never come to a place where we were both happy. And so mm-hmm. I had to let that deal pass, but but it was interesting, because in fact, I even emailed them back 2 weeks ago, say, hey, I'm still interested, but all I will pay is this price right here.
Yeah.
But they have continued to ignore the Jeremy experience since then.
You keep bugging them, right?
Well, what they wanted was, you know, we know that we only make decisions based upon data.
Mm-hmm.
And we could look at proven data about how well this item sold.
Yes.
And, you know, what they wanted, it would have taken me 4 years at the sales it was doing on Amazon to equal that amount back.
Sure.
So I decided to, I offered a, I offered something where I could make my money back quicker. Again, it was, I didn't want to insult them. And, but it was, that was where I felt comfortable.
Yeah.
They just said no. So the inventory is just sitting out there in limbo land somewhere.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. What do you, what kind of, what's an email? Do you email or call when that, for that?
So the most recent, actually, so this last company, that was the only one that I've actually really went on to try to make myself.
Okay.
Number one, they pursued me. Number two, I just met the guy locally, and he was advertising something on Facebook Marketplace, which is a tool I use in my Amazon business. But there's not too many people around where I live that do that. So I just had to connect with the guy, say, I don't want to buy this thing, but what did you use it for? And we just built a relationship with this one.
Wow.
What I did was I found the product and I looked on the back and I said, distributed by this. And man, I looked up every possible phone number, website. I emailed, I called, I did Google searches. I read obituaries. I did everything. And I finally, it was like 3 weeks later, out of the blue, I get an email from the, you know, I at that point, I've forgotten about it. And I said, listen, I'm interested. I really am interested. I came across it in a local liquidation store. I think it would be a good product. Here's what I do. And because they had started it themselves, and they had, you know, it was a good product, great concept, but the packaging was not all that great. And they just, she was a scientist. She was some kind of a biochemical engineer. And so it just was not her strong suit. But with possibly a good e-commerce strategy and someone to go out and try to get it into stores, because it was more of an impulse product. It could be great, but it just wasn't her cup of tea.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. How did you meet the guy, the shaving guy?
So he had advertised a thing on Google, on Facebook Marketplace. I was laying in bed one night. I said, hey, why does somebody have a Dymo printer, which is what we use to print labels off?
Yeah.
Why is someone on Facebook Marketplace in Southeast Alabama advertising one of this? So I messaged the guy and said, hey, I don't want the thing, but why don't you have that? Because I don't see that every day. And so I went over to his house one day. He showed me. He actually made me a kit up. My son was out there. He was bored to death. Dad, can we please go? I was talking to the guy. And anyway, that was in December. And then, so I still work a full-time job. And January is a busy time of the year for me. So I got busy. He's on the road. That's why he had to shut it down, because he was in the Army full-time. And the Army kind of frowned upon him taking off 4 months a year to go to trade shows. So I you know, 3 or 4 months later, I messaged him and said, hey, I'm still kind of interested. We talk text occasionally. Eventually he said, man, I really want, here's what I want. And I said, man, so check is coming in your direction.
That's incredible.
Yep.
Very cool. How would get advice for somebody that wants to do more of that thing? And is it just building relationships with folks?
Well, there are tools. Number one, I think that, it's really, I had not anticipated the webinar to even go this way, but I think there are actually ways. So Keepa is a tool that we as Amazon sellers use.
Yeah.
And, you know, Keepa is, there's so many different ways to do that. But one of the ways you can use it with is, and I did this one time a few months ago, or actually probably over a year ago, sit down and looking for things that you used to see on Amazon that haven't sold in a really, really long time. Like I found a guy that had invented some of a chess game that looked kind of interesting to me. So there's ways, I believe, with data to find these types of products.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, probably somebody knows somebody knows somebody.
Yeah.
Hey, I tried this thing once. And I've got a bunch of it. In fact, I've got a lady working for me right now who had her own jewelry business at one point. She just got burned out on it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people try things, but also just to, it was really interesting. I went to that same liquidation store several months ago, and they had this unique barbecue fork. I mean, it was like a unique barbecue doohickey thingy. Doohickey, that's an Alabama word right there. But but I looked it up, and it had a trademark like Alabama, but I looked, the trademark had expired like 13 years earlier.
Wow.
And so I reached out to the guy, and I never, you know, he's like, I think he's still alive, but he's like really, really old now. But I listed on Amazon, see if I could ever make it sell. It never did. But I was like, that was just really interesting. So
you're willing to try stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's fine. And the Lord has blessed that. The Lord has blessed that.
Absolutely. Yep. Wow. You're just like turning over some rocks that most people wouldn't even bother. And just going down some routes, down some rabbit holes that most people wouldn't even think about. Yeah, so you went to keepa for things that haven't sold in a really long time or maybe out of stock?
Yeah. So what I did, and so this is just one time I did this. I just looked in, I want to say the toys and games category. I went and looked things that were out of stock. And I'm trying to remember the exact, because Keepa has got, there are probably, there are so many different combinations of filters and things you can look at.
Yeah.
I want to say that I looked for things that were out of stock that had reviews, that had been out of stock for a while. I'm trying to remember. There's ways you can even look and see this product's been on like Amazon since this and this date. And just kind of get some ideas.
Because if it used to sell, has reviews, you know it used to sell. Or I mean, and so you know that has there's, you know, somebody was looking for it at least at one time. But why is it no longer on there? And can you get that product? And you start just making some contacts. I love that.
It's a, it's one of those things that, you know, again, having the attention span of a drunk monkey with ADD, I forget so many times about all these different, you know, I think Brian Tracy said that all of us, everybody has probably $3 to $4 million ideas a year. I think I have $3 to $4 million ideas a day, which is why I don't really ever do anything. I like to live in my brain with a German experience.
Well, you entertain us at least.
It's been good. It's you know, you talk about knocking over things people don't go down. You might, you know, Ryan, you're a married man like myself. You know, when I first got married, my wife would send me to the store to go get what she would call equipment, which is her monthly things that she needs. And I go to the store and I'm just like, first I'm embarrassed and I'm ashamed. And I'm in there looking and there's like 30 different colors and 14 different sizes and like, which one do I get? And then, but now I go to a store. I don't mind filling a buggy or two of them up. And so I had a, I work at a college. That's my full-time job. And I had a student come in on Friday to get her ID done. And then on Saturday, I saw she was at a local, this store she was working. And I wondered, I wonder if she thinks bad about my school because I'm pulling two carts full of tampons and pads at the front counter.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yeah. Now, you kind of joking around about some of your other things you're doing, but your business is going really well. How many employees do you have now and people that are working with you?
So I moved my business out of my house last year. About a few months before that, I started selling. I mean, I started hiring, tried to hire people, had a student from the school I work at. I'm just really impressed with her. She came to my house. Man, just, fantastic. So I moved in and I had, you know, she got busy with school. Few other tried to work out, and I finally hired my dream employee, but then she joined up to go to the military. She's in basic training right now. She's actually doing a, she just finished her that part. So she's doing a nice 3-day quiet walk in the woods right now. Actually, it's probably not quiet and it's probably not peaceful. It's probably not enjoyable either, but, so she will be home from basic training and, 4 months and 4 days, but who's counting, right? But, yeah, she's a little mini me, which is funny because she's 104 pounds soaking wet. Well, I'm not. But I now have five people working. Wow. They're all working kind of in the prep area. One person is she came and got me organized. And I'm trying to migrate her more towards product creation and creativity. She's kind of got that artsy background. I've had one guy that is doing – I think is going to be a fantastic prep and ship manager. So we're working on trying to grow right now. We're at, you know, I'm feeling decent about the future.
Yeah, that's awesome. What what were your sales like last year?
So so no, you're fine. I'm happy to share anything. So in 2019, I missed $200,000 by less than $400.
Oh my gosh.
Last year, I was like,
should have called me. I would have bought something for $400.
Well, the thing that was even scary was I had 6,667 orders, like 6667. Like, oh my goodness. But anyway, I had that. Well, the last year on Amazon, this is not counting the brand I bought. This is just which I sell on Amazon, but also have sell outside of that to one retailer. Last year, I did $430,000.
More than doubled 2019.
And so right now for the last 30 days I'm at 57,270 for the past 30 days.
That's incredible. What kind of I'm not going to ask you like, you know, ASINs or anything, or but what kind of products are you selling? What categories are your main ones?
Yeah, in the last 30 days, last 12, from March 1 of 2020 until today, 492,000.
Wow.
So I got to do a lot of grocery. Okay. I built a pretty good relationship with a local grocer.
Okay.
Had a grocery store that I was buying from. They were a good ways away from me, mm-hmm. but I had built a good relationship with them years ago, and I basically got it for their cost plus 10%.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was terrific. But it was quite a ways away, and I was, you know, driving, you know, an hour plus one way. And they were great people, but found out that they were not, you know, they were busting their tails for me, but they weren't making any money like the employees were. It was like extra work for them that was nothing. Well, I also found out that grocery store was one of, they were one of 12 stores that pulled from a particular warehouse. And I was able to get their exact warehouse list. So I could call and say, hey, rather than trying to order me, take all the shelf. Can you give me two of this item on the shelf? I could just go through their catalog.
Oh, my goodness.
Order me 12 of these, two of these, four cases of this. Well, I found out there's a grocery store much closer to where I live.
Uh-huh.
Actually, way closer. Like, yeah. We're talking a mile away from where I'm sitting right now.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That order's in the same warehouse. So I have their entire catalog, and I email him a list and say, okay, order me. So listen to the other day. 15 cases of this, 8 cases of this, 12 cases of this, 3 cases of that. I give them a stock number.
That's incredible. Okay, let's talk about that, because there's people in right now, I can tell I just know people listening, like, I want to know more about that. Okay, so you're probably not talking, you need to tell me what the name of the grocery store, but like, you're probably not talking about like a Kroger or some big chain like that, right? Are you talking about something like Doug's Grocery, like some just podunk little grocery store?
Yep. Yeah, and so what you're talking about there is, as of course, just so you're just for a full disclaimer, there is absolutely zero money to be made in grocery. So don't even get the grocery. Just leave it alone. Let me have all the losses. So one thing that is not common throughout the country, we have them around here, and this is not a chain. It's a concept, but you might see these in your more. And your more rural settings, and maybe, and also in your big cities, maybe in your lower economic sections,
okay,
is the concept of a cost plus 10%.
Yes.
So a lot of these grocery stores, they get their items and they advertise it at their cost plus 10%. So the store I was buying from, which is an hour away, I realized very quickly it was actually cost plus 20, because it was cost plus 10 at the back. Once you hit their back door, it's plus 10. Then when they put it on the shelf, it's another 10%.
Sure.
So by buying the way I was buying, I was saving that extra 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the store locally, it was actually more like cost plus 30%.
Okay.
They're not a cost plus 10%, but that's very common around where I live.
Yeah.
So, but what I went to them and said, hey, listen, here's the book. You know, I'm buying it from store A. Can I do the same thing? And they said, yeah. So really, I get it for their cost plus, and that includes inbound shipping plus 10%.
Yeah.
I've got a printed catalog around here somewhere. I'm not going to show the front of the book because some people might recognize it. But this book right here has the book I'm holding in my hand. I don't know if there's people who watch the video or not. If not, I'm holding a book in my hand. I'm holding a 145 page book in here of every item this store sells,
and everything from
frozen items to aerosol cheese cheddar cans to wax paper,
goodness,
to Oreos, and it's not just their brand, it's also a store brand, it's name brand stuff.
Yeah.
And so there's actually another store that I've talked to the owner one time.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to go to him since lately, but mm-hmm. I was actually looking for it. I had this very hard to find grocery product. My store couldn't get it. I was going to see if he could get it from his chain. He wasn't able to,
mm-hmm.
but I talked to him about the business model. I'm going to take this book to him at some point and say, okay, I get this from this store. Can I get your book as well?
That's awesome. How does it? Okay. So that first store owner that for the one that's an hour away,
yep.
How does that conversation even, you know,
how do you, I just called him and he said, I just asked him, can you get this by the case? And he said, yeah. And I can't remember if he volunteered or if I asked him, but it would be cheaper that way.
Wow.
Now, second store owner, I said, listen, he's doing it from me. I've got your catalog list from your – because what I did last year is I found out the warehouse itself, and I said, can you send me your price list? I'm buying it from one of your stores. I need to know everything you guys have got.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't need to know your prices because that's not fair to them. I want them to make money as well.
Yeah.
And that wasn't, it turns out I was dealing with the store manager there. I really wasn't dealing with an owner. That's one reason he also retired, but he wasn't being compensated. And if he would have still been compensated, if it would have made a difference in their paychecks, because they have done a good job of taking care of me. Listen, it's only an hour down the road. I'll go an hour down the road.
Yes. You literally just asked him, you said, I just want to know, can I buy this by the case?
Yep. Yep.
Started.
So that's kind of the thing. Yep.
Man, that's incredible.
So now I have the relationship with my other grocery store here. Yep.
Wow. That's gold right there. Somebody listening to this says they're doing any, I mean, no matter whether it's groceries or any type of store, just going to the store manager and say, hey, you know, can I buy these by the case?
Locally owned thing, not a chain.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. That is awesome. So you can buy, that's just really cool. That do they send it right to your warehouse then, or do you have to go pick it up?
So I drive a mile down the road and we load it on the back of a pickup truck.
Uh-huh.
And my pickup truck is the true Jeremy experience. If you ever see it, you'll recognize it. It's haphazard, but it works. And we load it on up and I bring it up here and we unload it. It's great.
That's incredible. Man, there's just so many ways to do this business. I talk to people and everybody kind of has their own thing in their own unique way. But it's not something you didn't start there, though, did you? You grew into this, you pivoted, mm-hmm. and you, like you said, your business model, you went from looking at doing getting cigarette burns out of upholstery.
Yep.
You're selling groceries.
Beyond that, so what it really started was I actually bought a course in the Warrior Forum years ago about how to make money from newsletters. And it was, you create a newsletter one time and you get 100 people to buy it from you.
Yes.
And so I did that. I created a newsletter for psychologists. My wife has her master's in counseling. Uh-huh. And I just went on LinkedIn not knowing this was not really cool to do. But anyway, I spammed the daylights out of people just breaking rules. And then I got one person to pay me $37 for 26 months, every month. And that was like, that was cool. If I was smart, I would have stuck with it and got 100 people doing that. But if we just four articles. I had a VA in the Philippines write it every month, write the four articles. I put into a newsletter, sent it out, and I made $37 and I paid her 20 and it was good. And then I rolled in and started doing it. I keep pivoting.
That's cool. Let's talk about that for a second and then we'll wrap up here pretty soon because you're now a published author and I want to learn about that. Pivoting. It seems like the people that I see that do the best in our communities are people who are able to pivot when times get tough, when something goes wrong. Obviously you're a big time seller. And so I know you've had to do that. You just mentioned, you know, some of the things you've done in the past and now you're not doing newsletters anymore. You're not fixing upholstery, anymore. Is that hard to do? Give us some advice to the newer seller who's thinks that they're going to probably start one thing and they might end up doing that for, you know, 5 or 6 years. It's probably not going to be the case. You got to kind of, there's going to be some storms to weather. You're going to have to be willing to adjust because things just, you know, sometimes Amazon's going to send you something and like you get some IP complaint or something and you can't let it ruin your day.
So let me just be very real and very transparent right now. We always think about, we hear numbers and we get really excited, you know, right? So I mentioned this grocery product I was having trouble finding. This particular line, they've got three different flavors I was selling.
Yeah.
And none of my warehouses could get it, or when they could get it, it was very limited supply. And I was like one of a very few people getting it. Mm-hmm. And it would sell out right away. Well, what do you do is when it's available, you order as much as you possibly can.
Yep.
Well, now between these three flavors, I have about 500 three packs of this unit in the warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
I am not the only seller anymore. It's kind of a seasonal product.
Mm.
So I'm sitting on a bunch of inventory right now that's not going to go, but by the grace of God, it has enough of a shelf life. I think it'll be good, but
yeah,
I've got capital showed up in that right now.
Yeah.
Listen, we do lots of groceries and my average box that goes out the door weighs 49 pounds.
Yeah.
4 weeks ago, I did a 1,400 pound shipment by myself. The next day, I'm grateful. Listen, I'm a big guy, but I'm grateful. I don't have back problems. I don't have any kind of health issues.
Yes.
That next day, I failed it.
Yeah.
We do a lot of grocery, and sometimes you have people that jump on. I mean, the replants is great. So you have a bunch of people that jump on it, and then all of a sudden, you're selling it at break even, or maybe even taking a little bit of a loss on it, hoping that the cheaper sellers will sell out. right now I'm needing to pivot because, you know, the lady that's working for me, my really artistic lady, she's a little bit older than I am. And she says, Jeremy, there's no way I can continue to lift 50 pound boxes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like that wear on you after a while. And then for me to do the volume I want to do, I'm in a very small warehouse. There's no way I can get that much. So we're needing to pivot right now.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, you know, a few days, it's nothing for me to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and think, oh my goodness. I mean, yeah, I've done $50,000 in sales this month, but now I've got payroll, I've got rent, I've got all this stuff. And like, how are we going to do this? And it gets, so I'm needing to pivot. There's actually some ways we're looking at. I was on a call right before this. There's a gentleman you interviewed on your, on this exact podcast 6 months ago named Joel. His business model continues to astound me. I'm trying to pivot to that, adding some very, very low cost, high profit, low weight items in that. And I hope to make that a reality soon.
Yeah.
So I'm needing to pivot right now. I'm not the best at pivoting for sure. Otherwise, you know, because I get in my head way too much and I get, you know, panic attacks and like, you know, I have a certain threshold in my business. Like, I mean, I still have work a full-time job. You know, up until last year, I never took a salary from business. I mean, I withdrew money if I needed it, but I've always had X number of dollars in the bank.
Yeah.
Well, this past week before the payout came, I went below that threshold and I was never in danger of not making payroll or not being able to pay rent or whatever, but Ryan, that was a scary day time for me because I went below my, and I'm like, Lord, help me with this. And so I'm needing to pivot right now. And so I think it's very important is to always surround ourselves with very encouraging people always listening for new opportunities. And I struggle with buying this course and doing, and I'm the world's worst shiny object syndrome. And I have 3 million things halfway done that don't even get fully started. Ryan, you're a friend of mine outside of this podcast. You know that about me. You know that is one of my weak points. But I think it's important to realize that, like Dan Miller, the 48 Days to Work You Got Love guy, I think it's important to realize that there's always a principle we can learn and pick up, but then we need to be confident to take action. And, you know, and we also need to be smart in what we do.
I love that you're transparent about that because no matter how big you are, small you are, as far as your business is concerned, you're always going to, you know, the devil's going to, it seems like you said 4 a.m. It's that 3 a.m., 4 a.m. time when you wake up and you're like, you get nervous. He puts thoughts in your head about you're not going to make it. You're not going to be able to pay your employees. Yep. And it's always at that time. And you just got to, you know, that's when Psalms 23 is one of my big scriptures. The Lord is my, I love it in the Amplified. The Lord is my shepherd to feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. And it's, you know, it's just, it's his job to provide for me. It's his job to give me everything I need. I just need to follow him, listen to his voice. He'll lead me and guide me to the right opportunities. And so I love it. Thanks for being transparent with that. And just, but I'll be praying for you to just have peace.
Thank you.
Process. What's it look like in when you say pivot? Because you're probably not going to completely go away from the grocery model that you're doing. You're talking about just adding on another stream of income.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know, it works out. It works out too well for what we've got going on right now. And quite frankly, you know, I'm trying to back away from this so I can work on other things. I've recently discovered the hobby of Uber Eats delivery. And so, and so anyway, I just said, I want to be able to leave my people and go do Uber Eats because totally for fun and let them prep it all. And me and I have to lift a single box, but it's been nice being up here and watching them prep and they're figuring the systems out and they're better than I am.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so much better than I'm. Totally.
That's awesome.
I do lots of glass.
Uh-huh.
One of my employees found a new way of wrapping glass I never even thought about before. Like, wow, you just started. You figured this. I never even knew this.
I love it. Wow. Good stuff. So last thing I want to talk about, and obviously it's something big going on. You just wrote a book. So you are now a published author. Congratulations. Tell me about that. Let's dig into that just for a few minutes and we'll wrap this up.
Sure. So I did not call the book The Jeremy Experience. Maybe I should have. Maybe that should have been the author's name.
You should have.
So let me, I'll back up about a year. It was June of last year, and I was coming back from a funeral in Nashville, Tennessee. I had stopped in a hotel room in Coleman, Alabama, got a nap, or slept up, woke up the next morning, saw some disturbing information online about somebody that was the reason I started selling on Amazon. Very discouraging. I got on a phone call with somebody and got some more information. To this day, I don't know. I don't know all the details. I've only heard one side of a story. I haven't talked to this gentleman, but this man changed my life. Good, bad, or indifferent. I know he didn't. When I first heard about him, heard from him, I know he was trying to sell a course or whatever, but that man changed my life. That man, you know, over the past 8 years, we've probably sold, I know, over $1 million, maybe even $1.5 million of inventory. We've been able to have a lot of things we've been able not being able to do otherwise. You know, we were able to take care of my dad in his final days, do some things for him before he passed away. We were able to, my wife was able to quit a job, go out to school, become a new, you know, go for a new degree, put my son in private school, take a couple family vacations. He is in martial arts. I'm very involved with a ministry called Trace Diaz. I travel around the country doing that. It's been able to make that possible. So I feel like I owe this man like a lot. Like, and I've tried to reach out to him, and if he called me today, I could be on a plane tomorrow to fly out to work just to have a chance to see him and have lunch with him.
For sure.
So I've been going over this thing mentally for the past year about what happens when the people we look up to, you know, when they fall.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want to say that 100% that I don't want to cast him away because I don't know anything from his side of the story. But what the people we look up to, you know, what happens? And I'm not just the what, but the why. Why did it happen? And it's caused me to look at my journey a lot. And I've also looked at, you know, the hows and the, you know, and also how to recover. So fast forward, if you're a Christ follower, there's a good chance here in America, you know who Ravi Zacharias was. Ravi Zacharias, to like a lot of evangelicals, was a hero, somebody I greatly looked up to. Never read his books, but, you know, consumed a lot of his other content. Podcasts on long road trips, videos on YouTube. I suggested his stuff to numerous people. There were some disturbing things that came out about him a few years ago. It was kind of, you know, no, it didn't happen. Ravi died last May, and that was just a crush to the evangelical world. In fact, I remember talking to my pastor. My pastor said, yeah, it's really hurt. It's really a bad one for us. But then a few months later, some of those negative things came out again. And had the organization he founded started an independent investigation. So it's just there's too much smoke here. There might be some fire. And then in February, the fire was worse than any of us could have ever hoped for, or any of us would have dreamed possible. And Ravi Zacharias, a man that has impacted, influenced, and led and guided so many people, did apparently, from the evidence, did some really bad things. And so, you know, I wrote about gentleman number one that I mentioned several months ago, and I've processed it, you know, and looking at the whys and the theologies and the, you know, why, because the man, you know, professes to be a Christ follower. How do we get to this point? Like with Ravi, how did he get to the point where he supposedly did what he did? How do people fall? What happens? And then I'll take an aside and I'll come back to the book. You know, Ryan, Jerry Clower, who was a comedian that passed away in 1998, loved Jerry Clower, a clean guy. But he said, you know, the biggest temptation I ever had was a temptation of success. And Ryan, I tell you what, when you have money in the bank and things are going great and you're experiencing success, there is never, I don't think I'm more susceptible to temptation now than I've ever been before. Like, I know that I have to be very, very careful when I'm around women that are not my wife. I have to be careful with my internet browser. I have to be careful with a lot of different things. And so I think that I've been processing this all along. How does somebody mess up? And if we don't mess up on point number one, we'll never mess up on point number two. How can I stay not mess up on point number one? So anyway, knowing that a lot of people are searching online for Ravi Zacharias, which goes into a term called search engine optimization, and a lot of people are typing in the Ravi Zacharias scandal. Mm-hmm. I created a book, knowing that people are typing into Amazon. Mm-hmm. I created a book called Ravi Zacharias Scandal, and yeah. I published it this past weekend. And in the book, which is a short read, admittedly, I think it's only 53 pages. Mm-hmm. It deals with a piece I wrote about Ravi, a piece I wrote about this other gentleman. Mm-hmm. And then I pinned together 17 questions mm-hmm. about how we deal with it when our heroes, our mentors, and yeah. our friends fall. How do we mentally process it? Because, you know, Ryan, we're emotional social creatures. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when somebody we like or somebody that falls, it's so easy to process, to pick up somebody else's emotion or the group think, mm-hmm. but we don't process ourselves mm-hmm. and we don't get a chance for grace to be applied and to find grace to deal with it ourselves. Yeah. So prayerfully, the book will help people deal with what we all deal with, yeah. which is when the people we care about, people that we look up to, the people that we love, when they fall, yeah. The book deals with that. Mm. And also it talks about how to make sure that we never get to the point where our pride or on the other side, our hurt causes us to get to a place where we compromise ourselves. Yeah. Now, we're never more vulnerable, yeah. either when we're really successful or when we are hurt, angry, lonely, and tired.
Yeah.
When we're at those two extremes, we're the most vulnerable. Yeah. And I talk about that some in the book. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel it was right for me to profit off of writing this particular book. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Jeremy – I can't speak for anybody else. Right now, at this exact moment, mm-hmm. March 22nd of 2021, Jeremy James doesn't feel cool about selling the content that I believe God's given me for personal profit. Now the Lord may change my mind tomorrow, and I'm not condemning anybody else that sells a book, mm-hmm. but Jeremy James doesn't feel that way today, that it's cool for mm-hmm. me to do that. Mm-hmm. So we picked, my best friend and his wife are tied in with an organization in Nashville, Tennessee mm-hmm. called Rescue One Global. And Rescue One Global works with people in the sex trafficking industry, rescuing those. Yeah. And so they are going to receive 100% of all the royalties That's of this awesome. Book. Wow. And so they're doing a work in Tennessee. They're also doing a work in Thailand. And we're hopefully, by faith, this book is going to go big. It would be great if this was like a small group book, if people would buy many of that for small groups, gifts or whatnot to help people process. But I hope it will do that so we can help a lot of people.
That's awesome. There's so many good organizations out there that do that and help rescue people, rescue yep. kids, and not just kids even, but from the human trafficking trade. It's awful. So, yeah, I just it's easy to get to look and put your faith sometimes in these people who are your mentors, leaders, spiritual leaders even, and when they fall for that to just kind of mess you up. But you got to realize, you know, we're all human and we can make mistakes, and mm-hmm. it doesn't change who Jesus is. And
if I could just follow that up with Ryan, you know, we are in the personal improvement space. That's why we have this podcast. That's part of my ministry mission as well, I believe. Mm-hmm. And we want to help people overcome and rise to new levels. But
yes.
But I will just a warning. I have to tell myself this every day, because there are people that you and I mutually know that I think can succumb to this or have in the past. That's another discussion for another day. But success causes us to put self above Savior. Mm. And man, I tell you, I see the possibility in my heart every day when I look and say, hey, I've got a business that I sold $50,000, mm-hmm. $55,000 this past month, or I've done $500,000 in the past 30 days. Man, it's real easy to look and say, man, Jeremy, look what you did. Mm-hmm. Success of any kind. Mm-hmm. When we need to be very careful, very, very careful mm-hmm. by not putting our eyes, our faith, our trust, and our hope in Jesus Christ alone.
Yep.
Listen, biblical principles are great. Talking about the truths of the scriptures and what we can get out of that. But if our eyes and our eyes and our conversation is not centered around the person of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. I have a hard time listening to that person.
Yeah.
Mm. Because it's so easy. Put self over Savior.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, for me, I look at it just like I could not do any of this without him. So that helps keep me humble. I know that if his grace and favor are on me every single day. But no, it doesn't mean that there's temptations that aren't there. So
exactly.
Yeah, we and put our trust in him.
That's right. And if we're not learning to deny ourselves and to seriously not serving somebody so I can get a paycheck or get a commission or you know, I hate to say it, when I go buy the $3 pair of tampon or pack of tampons to sell for $35, I'm not thinking about the customer. I'm thinking about that profit in my pocket.
Yeah.
Serving others by denying myself. That's where I need to be. And anyway, that's savior above self always. Savior always above self.
That's right. Well, then, because you put him first in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added unto you. So he'll give you what you
even
need.
It's one of the books of the Old Testament. So, but even if the olive branch doesn't have anything on it, even if the fields are barren, even if there is no water, we will praise our Lord because he deserves it.
He does. Good way to leave it off, man. Good stuff.
Thank you.
So, guys, we'll put the link in the show notes for you mentioned Joel Golden's episode. I don't know that off the top of my head what episode that is, but I'll find that and put that in the show notes along with the link to your book, The Robbie Zacharias Scandal, and then the link to Rescue One Global.
Yep.
So thanks for
the book is the Robbie Zacharias Scandal, how I'm dealing with it, biblically navigating the failures and fallings of our heroes, mentors, and trusted friends.
Yeah. You know what I would say, one thing too, I don't believe it, you know, when you hear about somebody who does something wrong like that, that takes away necessarily from what they did. Because you look at, like in the book of Matthew, I believe, you know, how the lineage of Jesus is, even Bathsheba is mentioned in there, if I remember right.
And Rahab the harlot.
Yeah, exactly. And so it just shows you God's grace that, like, you know what, you can be human, you can screw up, but my grace is a super abounds over anything that you can do. And so God can still use you. If you guys you made mistakes in your life, we've all made mistakes, but God's grace is way, way bigger than that. And so, we get disappointed and we look at folks that make mistakes, but don't let that discourage you and, keep your eyes on Jesus. So
he can even save us without going to details because this call has gone too long already, but he can even save a self-righteous blasphemer like myself.
And somebody from Alabama.
Even somebody from Alabama that for a long he can still save me. If he can save me, he can save anybody.
That's right. God is good. Well, buddy, I appreciate you being on here. Thanks for sharing your insight. I always love these interviews because you never know which way they're going to go. You dig into people's stories and pull out old nuggets for other folks. But been really, really good. Appreciate you doing this, and we'll chat soon.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much.
Right, thanks.
You've been listening to Streams of Income with self-help author Ryan Rieger. From right here in the Dallas Metroplex, Ryan teaches several entrepreneurial courses and group coaching programs to students all over the world. Be sure to listen next week at the same time for Streams of Income with Ryan Rieger.